Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Abram stood before the almighty presence of God. What a magnificent moment in human history. As he stood there under the brilliant night sky, lit up by millions of stars, the Lord God spoke. You will have descendants as numerous as all these stars in the sky. Wow. Now, perhaps to Abram, this would be quite a ridiculous thing that God said to him because he was old in age, his wife and him had no children. However, Abram, he believed. And because of his faith, he was considered righteous by God. There God covenant with Abram. There was a promise, but more than a promise, it was a deepening of a relationship. It was the promise of land to go to this place, to settle there, and you will become a great nation, and you'll be blessed to be a blessing, not just to other Israelites, but to other nations. The covenant relationship was important, conditional, that the people of God would obey Him. Obedience is key. This covenant promise was passed on to Isaac and Jacob, and then many years later to Moses, when the Israelites were delivered from the clutches of an oppressive regime, the Egyptians. The Lord spoke to His people through His servant Moses. He said, "And now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. Notice that the covenant entails not just what to do to obey, but who the people are. They are His treasured possession. They are to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. In other words, worshippers of the Lord God. We must remember who is speaking. The Lord God. The Lord God has meaning to that of who we are in the light of who God is. It's not just God. The Lord God. He is our master, our king. We are His servants and His worshippers. But there's a big word here. Sometimes the biggest words in the English language are actually the shortest word. That word is if. That word is if. If is a conditional word. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then the Lord will keep that covenant with His people. You see, what the Lord was calling Moses, if you obey my voice and if you keep my covenant, then the Lord will continue to walk with us. We must walk in obedience, walk as worshippers of God, trusting the Lord. Just like Abram did, he trusted the Lord. Go to this place. You will have descendants as numerous as the stars. He believed, he trusted in the Lord God. And in that obedience, in that walking with God, keeping the covenant, it results in blessings. He will be their God. They will be His treasured possessions. They will be a great nation. They will have land, and they will be blessed to be a blessing. And this is the title of today's sermon as we look at Leviticus 26, keeping the covenant. Not just keeping it, but also walking in covenant relationship. When these words are spoken to Moses about the covenant, he was to build a tabernacle, a sanctuary. The word sanctuary literally means holy place. This is where the Lord would dwell amongst his people. In the middle of the Israelite camp, there was the tabernacle. A daily reminder that the Lord was present with them. And when the tabernacle was built, the glory of the Lord descended like a cloud, and it filled the entire tabernacle. This was the holy place of God. And then instructions were given as the Lord spoke. This is where we get the book of Leviticus. And he began to speak to them. How do we worship a holy God? How do the holy priests conduct worship? Who were they as a holy people? How were they to live holy lives? How would they celebrate festivals to remember God's generous provision and glorious salvation? What was the Sabbath? It was a time that every 7 years they were to rest and not work, trusting in the Lord as he regenerates the land so they will have more supply for the years to come. And then we saw last week in Leviticus 25 to practice the Jubilee year, every 50 years, to release slaves and debts and to allow for a reset their lives. And that's where we hit Leviticus 26. And there are four major parts here. It starts off with God speaking and saying that I am your one God to worship and obey me. It says, you shall not make idols for yourselves or erect an image or pillar, and you shall not set up a figured stone in the land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep the Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Again, that emphasis on the word Lord God. He's not just God. He's the Lord, Master, King. We are his servants, his children, and we are to obey him. We are not to bow down to any other gods except for him. And then he goes on to say, this is how you shall live as my servants, as my people. You are to obey me and you'll be blessed. If you walk in his statutes, in his laws, in his ways, he will bless. He will give rain and harvest, peace and safety, fruitfulness and multiplication, and his presence shall be with his people as he relates with them. This is an affirmation, a reaffirmation of the Abrahamic covenant to be a great nation, to have that land where they can grow, there'll be harvest, there'll be provisions from God, and universal blessing, which means blessed to be a blessing, not just to the people around them, but to the nations surrounding them. However, God knows the human heart. The human heart is prone to wonder. It is sinful. Deception can come in. Temptations can overwhelm the soul. And God warns about disobedience and the consequences to that disobedience. He says, if you not listen, if you break my covenant, there'll be sudden terror. And even after sudden terror, the Lord will warn them again. But they may not listen again. And so therefore, he will break down their pride. And then the Lord warns them again. But then they will not listen. They walk contrary to his ways. Then there will be invasion of wild beasts to the point that they will eat children and women. Then they still don't listen, even though the discipline was there. So God will bring in war and famine and plague. And then they still don't listen. And so there's famine and this horrible thing called cannibalism. They'll be so hungry, they eat one another up. And you would think, that by that time, they faced so many consequences, they will turn to the Lord, but no, they will not listen. And so there will be desolation to the cities and even the sanctuaries that the people of God will have no place now to worship the Lord. And then the nation falls because the covenant has been broken. But you see, God is faithful. And in all of this, he still pursues the remnant, those who repent and walk in covenant. They keep the covenant, to which the Lord says, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, I will remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. See, what do we see out of Leviticus 26? We see a God who means business and is to be feared. He's a covenant-keeping God, a holy God. God calling his people to keep the covenant. God calling the nation to live and walk in covenant relationship with him. He is the Lord God, and we are his people. We've covered what this covenant is. But the question that I'd like us to focus on today is, how do we walk in covenant relationship with God? How do we do so? And there's two ways. It's to worship in reverent awe, and second, to walk in humble obedience and repentance. Let's talk about worship in reverent awe first. Leviticus 26 starts off by saying, don't make idols, don't bow down to these idols, but remember, I am the Lord your God, and keep that worship with reverence. Two important words here, bow down. Bow down is a form of lying down prostrate, but more so it's a posture of the heart. It is saying, God, I come under your authority and your power. I bow down. When we make idols, these idols are man-made idols. If you bow down to man-made idols, you are bowing down to man, finite, sinful, flawed, imperfect. But we bow down to God, the Lord God. We bow down to his ways, his will, his sovereignty, his protection, his peace, his blessing, his joy, his ways. Reverence, to be in awe. Imagine Abraham beneath those stars in absolute awe, but yet in fear and in reverence. The key here is in worship, is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is not walking into service. Fear is a posture of the heart to fear the Lord. It is an understanding of who God is. He is the Lord God. When the tabernacle was built, the holy priest could enter into it to worship. But they worshiped with fear and trembling because they entered the holy presence of God. If they didn't do the ways of God, they'd be struck down. And we see this in Leviticus 10, where Aaron's two sons offered unauthorized fire. They were struck down dead. Coming into worship is not a game. It's coming into the holy presence of the Almighty God. Leviticus 26, verse 1 and 2 remind us. It throws us back to a time where Moses went up to Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, you shall not have any other God. I am the Lord your God, one God. Don't make any idols. I'm your one God. Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments. He tells the people, then he goes back up to this mountain. This mountain is covered with fiery smoke. You cannot miss. The presence of God is up at Mount Sinai. And there he receives instructions about the tabernacle. And meanwhile, the people are down from the mountain waiting and waiting for 40 days and 40 nights until they give up. This Moses is not going to come down. This God don't care about us. We will make for ourselves an idol, a golden calf. And in that time, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, he said these words, they have turned aside quickly out of the way that I've commanded them. They have made themselves a golden calf. Have you seen this people? And behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. In our sin, we become stubborn, immovable, stiff-necked, don't want to move. God says, look, don't want, stiff-necked. And we see this play out in Leviticus 26. When the Lord says, you walk in my ways, fear me with reverence, but yet we see the stiff-neckedness of people. There's no fear of God. He says, you will not listen. Your soul abhors my rules, break my covenant. And in spite of this, you not listen to me. If you walk contrary to me, if by this discipline you have not turned to me, but walk contrary to me. Many warnings, many wanting the people to be soft-hearted, to be open, to be obedient. And then he says the consequences. For your stiff-neckedness, I will visit you with panic. I will set my face against you. I will discipline you again sevenfold for your sins. I will break your pride, the pride of your power. I will continue striking you sevenfold for your sins. Then I also will walk contrary to you, and I myself will strike you. You shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Isn't it interesting that when we bow down to idols, we fall under its power to the point we can no longer stand under the enemy's power? Therefore, the Lord calls his people to walk in his statutes. And the Lord's promise is wonderful. It's one where he will turn to them and he will confirm his covenant, and he will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be his people. It is not just a covenant contract, not just a promise, it's a relationship with the Lord God. Walking with us, providing for us, speaking to us as we worship him and obey him. You see, God can come down to our level. Yet at the same time, God is on a completely different level from us. He is the Lord our God. God is holy, perfect, never flawed, sovereign, eternal, lived back then, still alive today, and will live on for eternity. And he wants his people to be in that covenant relationship with him. Even though he is holy, he can come down to our level, yet at the same time, he's at a completely different level from us. He's the Lord, our God. Think about the blessings and the consequences. Rain and harvest. Can I produce rain and harvest on the spot? God is a different level from us. He can do it on the spot. Can I provide peace and safety and assure, even if I'm the president of the United States of America, can I assure this? Give certainty to it? The Lord God can. You see the different level he's at? He can bring about sudden terror. He can bring about invasion of wild beasts. But yet he can also bring about fruitfulness and multiplication. He is, can come down to our level. But yet at the same time, he's a completely different level from us. Do you fear him? You know, the Lord Jesus came down to our level. He walked amongst us. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And yet he's at a completely different level. He is a servant king. Gave his life for us. It says in Hebrews 10, Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice. Not in the sacrifices in the tabernacle where every day they had to offer up bulls and lambs and sheep and all these things for the forgiveness of our sin. Once a year, the Day of Atonement, going into the Holy of Holies, panicking in fear that he'd be struck down by the Lord God's holy presence. This God, Jesus, one single sacrifice that was agonizing, but yet expressed the absolute passion and love of Jesus for all of generations and all nations. He now sits at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who have been sanctified. All of us who come and say, I shall pursue holiness and righteousness for the sake of his name. That is coming in worship, fearing the Lord, because he can come down to our level. But yet at the same time, he's on a completely different level from us. He is the Lord, our God. Now I wonder, when we come to worship God, on a Sunday? What is our posture? Is it like this man here, Shifuk Saina, relaxed on the sofa, you know, not really caring about very much? Oh, come to worship the Lord. Wake up in the morning or late. Oh, never mind. Nah. Come, Shabbat, Shabbat. Don't know the song. Dance like David did. No, I sit down and wait. You know, holy forever. Is that our posture? Deep down inside? Or is it like this? Oh, God, you know, His goodness is running after me. Come with me, Lord. Almost romanticize our faith. Or is it like this? Lord God, money please. Lord God, promotion please. Lord God, children please. Lord God, peace and prosperity. Is that our posture? Often we forget He is the Lord our God, that we must approach even His word as one that is sacred and holy. He speaks. This is not a study book. It's not for you to get your A++ levels for salvation. It is the living word. It cuts to the marrow and the bone like a double-edged sword. It brings out the worst in our humanity, but also can bring out the best in the body of Christ. It affirms not just the covenant relationship that we have, but it brings life to us and to the nations. Holy, set apart. That we come in absolute surrender. And we come falling under the power and authority of God. Notice, these are not for us to give a show to God. Oh, I lift my hands. Sometimes we may be mistaken. Oh, the guy lifts his hands. He must be holy. Oh, the guy is very solemn in prayer. He must be holy. Oh, the guy danced before the Lord. He is very unholy. It's not about the form. It's about the heart. The posture. Sometimes, when I led worship, I see some people, they stand before the Lord, stoic, almost immovable. And you wonder, are they sleeping? But when you get to know the person, you realize that is his expression of adoration before God. I've seen young people dance before the Lord. We can judge them and go, oh yeah, these silly people, I don't know what I'm talking about. Their faith are very shallow. But when you get to know the person, you sense the reverence they have for God. When we look at a picture like this, a man with muscles and tattoos, we wonder, does he have reverence for God? There was a man that I knew very similar to this picture. I met him in prison. I met him because my mentor introduced me to him. He was in maximum security in an old prison now that's now become a hotel, believe it or not, called Pentridge Prison. Supermax he was in. And he had my mentor, Bill Sutcliffe, visit him every Monday, knock on his prison door, offer him a Bible. He rejected. Until one day, he heard from an inmate, the pages of the Bible were very thin, very good to smoke. Put tobacco in there, you can smoke it. He took the Bible, he smoked Genesis. He smoked the whole Torah. He went, smoke. This is great. Smoke all the way to Psalms and Proverbs. This is wonderful. Free smokes. All the way to the Malachi, to the New Testament. He got the Matthew. He smoked Matt. He smoked Mark, Luke. He got to John. And suddenly, out of the blue, one day, he read John 3:16. He ripped his prison gear off. He fell naked on the floor and began to worship the Lord God. The riot squad had to go in, thought that he was going nuts. And when he went in there, he says, "Away from me, Lord. I have unclean lips." His exact words, unclean lips. He fell under the power of God, reverence for God. And became a discipler of God. winning other inmates to Jesus. Now, we always joked about it. Man look like that, scary like that. You want Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Oh yeah, of course. But it was seen in his sincerity of heart, the transformation in his life. He fell under the power and authority of God. He bowed down to God and fell in reverent awe that his entire life showed the Lord God. He kept the covenant, he walked in covenant, and he kept that holiness before God. I see one of the people in this photo here walking in the jungles of East Timor. But the day we arrived there for this trip, we visited a little hostel, and some of the members were with us, and I got one of the guys from East Timor, a friend of mine, young man, 21 years of age, share his story. Shared how he was transformed from a terrorist to one who loved the Lord. And as he shared, one of the girls on the trip began to cry. He said, "I don't know why I cry. I don't know what it is, but I sense the presence of the Almighty God." For this young man had the presence of God with him, that when you stood in his presence, you felt it. The fear of the Lord. A man of integrity. A man who loved the Lord. How do we walk in covenant relationship with God? It's first worship in reverent awe, but second is to walk in humble obedience and repentance. The Lord says, "Walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them." The word walk essentially means our conduct, our way of life, our approach to life. It describes our journey with God, walking with Him and in His ways. Not our ways, but His. And there'll be blessing, rain and harvest, peace and safety, fruitfulness and multiplication, presence and relationship, the covenant relationship. And in that, the Lord will turn to you. You see, for Him to turn, we cannot be stiff-necked. We can turn to Him as well. And we walk with Him. This is a beautiful picture of relationship, but one that is holy, sacred. However, the Lord warns, "But if you will not listen to me, we will not do these commandments. If your soul abhors my rules and break my commandment." The word "break" here, used here in the Hebrew, is unique here. And the unique meaning of "break" in this particular verse is to violate, make ineffectual, throw asunder. In other words, it's like ripping up the covenant and throwing the covenant away, discarding it. And by breaking that, you essentially begin to break the relationship. This is a downward spiral. Downward spiral to complete destruction. Smack in the middle of it, right at the top there, it identifies the reason why. Pride. Pride. The pride of our life breaks that covenant. Wanting my own way. Stubborn. Never wanting to listen. We become like those children. Don't want! That kind of thing. And the Lord will warn. "In spite of this, you will not listen. And even by this discipline, you have not turned to me, but walk contrary to me. Walk away." Why? Because of uncircumcised heart. A circumcised heart is cuts away from disobedience, cuts away from unholiness. Uncircumcised means I join in disobedience. I connect and identify with unholiness. And as a result, the Lord says, "I will destroy your high places, lay your cities waste and your sanctuaries desolate. I will devastate the land and I will scatter you among the nations." You're no longer that great nation because you no longer want to be blessed, to be a blessing. You no longer want me to be the Lord your God. Ultimately, to walk in obedience is a choice. It is a choice that you and I still make today. You see, there's a new covenant today. Jesus died for us. It says that in Luke 22:20, this cup that I poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Not the blood of bulls and lambs to be sprinkled upon the altar. No, this is Jesus' own blood. His very life given for you. Therefore, Peter reminds us, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but he who has called you is holy, and you also be holy in your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. See, in essence, the covenant is a relationship, a holy relationship. One that's distinct. One where people can see that as the Lord's presence is with you, we can be a blessing to others because the presence of God is with us. Not to take it all in for ourselves, but to serve the Lord willingly, to love the people around us, to bring joy to communities, to bring hope to nations, and to bring life to families. You see, it's a daily choice to walk in covenant relationship and keep His covenant. Now, every now and then, we are faced with temptations in our lives as we're walking this life. And it's which path we want to walk. Obedience, we walk with the Lord. Disobedience, we walk away from the Lord. The Lord warns. We have a choice to repent or be stiff-necked and continue down our journey. Which choice do you need to make today? Not tomorrow, but right now. The Lord said to Moses years ago, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, I shall be your treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And he repeats these words in the New Testament. For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, his covenant people, holy people, worshiping people, God-fearing people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, you and I, we are called to a next level form of authentic discipleship and intentional disciple making. A holy relationship with God is one of obedience to God, both morally and missionally. He calls us to walk in His ways, not just by obeying His rules, but to tell of His grace, of His life to the nations. We are to engage in next level authentic discipleship and intentional disciple making. And the key is to fear the Lord and to walk in His obedience, knowing He's the Lord our God. In 3 years' time, we move into Sengkang. What kind of people shall we be walking into Sengkang? A few weeks ago, the many of us who showed up at Sengkang to pray, Friday night, through the whole Saturday until evening. And we wrote on the hoarding hundreds of messages that we believe were from the Lord. We heard the Lord. We intentionally allowed the Lord to speak to us. In the same vein, do we intentionally seek the Lord daily? Hear His voice. To come under His Lordship. Lordship. And when we come under His Lordship, we begin to live out His ways, His will, but also His dreams. Remember that scene, Abraham standing under the brilliant night sky? God spoke His dream, and he lived out that dream by faith. There's a dream that God places in our hearts. Would you allow God to be Lord over your dreams so that your dreams are actually His dreams? Just a few weeks ago, there was a Mid-Autumn Festival, and a CG from Covenant went along to bless the people at Sengkang. Some of you recognize the faces in this photo. I spoke to Fu Wan a couple of days ago. His CG went there. And he says that this is God's call for us to go We can make disciples now. Don't have to wait 3 years later. We get to do it. We get to be a blessing because the Lord has blessed us. We get to pray. We get to be that holy people God calls us to be. It starts with our lives and then extending that blessing to others. We get to do it for Christmas, as Pastor Ben has spoken about, to the migrants. We get to do it even in Sengkang. There's a CG going there to bless during Christmas. We get to do this until the Lord meets with us. Will you live out His dream? His dream was to bring peace to the nations, joy to the nations. As Dave led us just now, dancing in the nations before God. On Friday night, we celebrated the life that passed on. His name is Joseph Chen. Joe was a friend of mine. I had the privilege of serving with him before he passed. And he had a dream. His dream was the resurgence of sending into the nations. You see, Singapore is a very blessed nation. We must see it, feel it, understand it. We are very, very blessed. Blessed with a solid government, solid economy, and men and women who really care about this nation, that it will continue to prosper economically, but also socially. Why? Do you know that Singapore has some of the most brilliant students coming through it? Most educated nation, one of the most educated nations in the world. Why? It values religious and racial harmony. Why? Why is it that many of us, our children, can go to a decent school, a good school, even if it's a roadside school? As an auntie once reminded me, "Boy, you go to roadside school, ah?" I said, "Auntie, every school in Singapore by roadside one, ah." Why are we so blessed to be a blessing? God calls us first to start here in our hearts, to enter His presence with reverence, to enter our lives with reverence, to walk this life in His ways, to walk in integrity, to walk in righteousness, not atasness, or not, "Oh, I'm so such a dignified life, respectable life." No, we are called to live a redemptive life unto the nations. Is your dream under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Are your families under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Is your business, your education, your own heart under the lordship of Jesus Christ? My friend Joe, his dream was under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to send and keep sending and sending unto the nations so that the nations will experience the love, the joy, the peace, the provision, the presence of the Almighty Holy God. The question is not just about living in moral integrity and righteousness, but also missional in purpose before our God. Then the dream, not just Joe's dream, but the Jesus dream for Singapore shall be truly lived through His people for His glory and for His name's sake, to live in covenant relationship for all of human history until we worship Him face to face and declare that He is holy forever. Therefore, keep the covenant. Would you bow with me in prayer? To keep the covenant is to walk in obedience. To keep the covenant is to recognize He is the Lord our God. Therefore, to keep the covenant is ultimately a lordship decision. Would you desire to make Him Lord today? Today, not tomorrow, but today. And perhaps as part of that is to say, "Lord, release the tension in my neck. Release that spiritual tension so that I may turn to You and repent." Perhaps your response is, "Lord, I must learn to surrender my future my dreams to you, so that indeed you are Lord over my dreams. Perhaps you are fearful, very fearful. You may be facing illness or even death, or demotion, or worse, job loss. But will you trust the Lord, your God, for your future? Lest we all fall. We fall and we don't listen and we walk stubbornly away from our God. Today, the Lord calls us to walk in covenant with Him. Today, that's your desire. No need to lift your hands. No need to stand. Just begin to pray, Lord, be my master. Be my king. Have Lord over my life. Be Lord over my life, God. Be Lord over my life, God. Have authority. Bow down before the Lord. Come under His authority and power. Come down. For His name is the highest, the greatest. All powers and dominions. All kings and presidents. Fall under the almighty hand of the almighty God. Sovereign, but yet all loving. Comes down to our level, yet on a very different level from us. This is our God, whom we worship today.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.